This week we've swapped the cold, wet outside for the rather warmer, rather drier inside. Anna is sipping tea from the biggest cup I've ever seen. It's basically the same size as your face. Well, we're on Zoom, right? And maybe the camera perspective makes the cup look bigger than it actually is.
No, it's big.
It's big. Okay. Okay. Thanks for clarifying that. We're going to talk about some more important things on this episode, like feeling the fear and doing it anyway, which I guess you can kind of see what this is about. But we're talking about things that fear has stopped you doing, but also things where you have been smashing through fear, all as a result of losing weight. There are many exciting things, aren't there, Anna?
There's incredible things, isn't there? I've been wowed by our listeners, how they break through fear, how they just challenge themselves. But also, I think you and I know a little bit about fear, don't we?
Well, I think we do. So we've got sparkly dresses, we've got zip wires, we've got setting up your own business, we've got running, and we've even got people going out and playing football, biking, all kinds of stuff coming up on this week's episode of Slimming World Podcast. You know what I'm about to say, don't you? Are you ready? I know you want to say it with me. Cue the ukuleles. Stop laughing at me, you. This is, I've said that from the heart.
No, I thought you forgot the name of the podcast then, because my internet cut out and you went... And I was like, I remember the name of our podcast. That's great.
I think I've got it. I think I remember what we're doing, who we are. I'm at that point where, you know, in lockdown, you've kind of got the new routine of who you are, what your name is, and what. Whereas there's some points in the last few months where you had no idea. Like, is it Friday? Is it? No, it's not Friday. Crap, it's only Wednesday. Oh, my God. And just, I mean, maybe by the time we publish this episode, the weather might have changed, but it is endless grey and endless rain.
And like jumper weather. Like, it's not right, is it? It really isn't. But I think it's so true what you say about lockdown. Like, now we're coming back into reality. It's like remembering, I don't know about you, but I haven't got money for months, like physical cash. Like, and I had to get money then.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, where do I get money? What's happened in 4 months feels like it was just reality, isn't it?
I mean, for once in my life, I have lost weight. I have actually invested in some new summer clothes. And when am I going to get to wear them?
In the house.
Are they having enough? For anybody who has been losing weight during lockdown in a bid to get ready to wear a bikini, I feel for you, man.
Do you know what? It's not looking good at the moment, is it?
No.
It might be sunny at Christmas.
Well, this is a depressing way to start a podcast, isn't it?
And we're actually in really good mood, so maybe we should start, you know, spreading some sparkle and not just doom.
Well, I am actually flabbergasted. I don't say that word often.
Good word.
Yeah, I'm flabbergasted by the things that you... our listener has shared with us in preparation for this episode. If you don't already follow us on Instagram, that's how we end up getting a lot of our inspiration for our ideas. So we're at Slimming World Podcast. I know a few of you haven't been on Instagram before and you're kind of saying you're joining just to kind of keep up to date. You feel like you're missing out. And don't worry, you're not missing much apart from occasional live with us. And I never wear makeup during my live. And
you're not missing much. Come
you're not
on,
missing
Claire.
Much.
You're
I
missing
mean...
loads, so much. A world of knowledge, information. I mean, Claire's made Instagram look pretty. Claire's very good on the live. Last time I did a live on ours, my child threw pastel over the floor and I got cut off. I don't know about you, but I'm a big Instagram person. And I did something you told me about ages ago, which was like curating your newsfeed. And I think if you want a bit of positivity, the comments we get on our Instagram are so brilliant. I think they really can help pep you up. You're so
it's like, okay, we try and put statements or questions that just kind of make you catch your eye as you go through the timeline and think, oh, haven't thought about that for a while. And yeah, just like seeing everybody replying to each other. And I just put this thing about fear, you know, like, what has it stopped you doing? You know, what kind of fear are you smashing through because you've got newfound confidence? And wow, it just opened up these comments. And I just thought, we've got to talk about this. This is an episode right here, because we have to share people's stories. And we know that both for me and Anna, it's something that has stopped us in the past.
And something we deal with on a daily basis. I think with us too, like, I think we've got the hangover still within us of like, are we capable? Can we do this? Because we,
the podcast.
Well, the podcast life, I think what we've still got hanging over in both of us is that, are we good enough thing, which comes from being overweight. It really does, because you're used to being told you're a bit rubbish, you know, you're not going to achieve X, Y, and Z. And that there's still a core of that within us that we have to really think about our messages to each other. We have to really pull ourselves out and be like, no, we are good enough. We are powerful. We are strong. And just because we carried extra pounds doesn't change it. But I think I know I hid behind my weight, and it stopped me doing a lot of things because I was scared. Really, really did. And I don't think I realised at the time. Do you have that? Like, I look back now and I think,
yeah,
didn't do that because I was overweight. Didn't do that. Like, but in the moment, I made an excuse for it, and I wouldn't have acknowledged it was fear.
It's almost like the being overweight stops you doing things, but then that same thinking creeps into other areas of your life. Is that what you're saying? So actually, I wasn't really pushing myself in my career. I wasn't pushing myself in dealing with my finances. I wasn't dealing with relationships within my family and friends where I needed to have difficult conversations. So it was seeping into all aspects of your life. And who would have thought, like, you know, we are the Slimmer World podcast, so this is not necessarily a psychology podcast, but just by following a food plan, losing a few pounds, and it's almost like the catalyst to then you kind of nail this one thing. You're like, right, what else can I nail? What else can I do? And before you know it, you're like a superwoman or Superman.
But I think that's the where I'm at with it is I hadn't realised how the overweight had masked and marred so many things in my life until I lost the weight and got the confidence to speak out, to go for a better job or leave my job or, you know, all of those things. And you know, I've been very lucky. I've been like, you know, with Phil since I was very young. So I've never had to approach the dating situation because I actually met Phil when I was at my slimmest and probably the most confident. But I can imagine if I'd been trying to date in the last 20 years, how I would not have had the confidence to do that at all. Because I would have thought, you know, men were judging me on every bit that wobbled. And I think,
But I got to say, I don't think it's lucky that you have been with Phil since you were 19, because I don't think there's such a thing as luck. I think there's hard work. And I know that in order for you guys to stay together, having been through all the things that you've both been through, that took commitment, dedication, and hard work.
Yeah, but I'm also married to a total laid-back gem of a man who literally, I think I got lucky. I think the stars aligned and I was brought a really amazing guy. Because, you know, there's only certain people that can put up with me. Let's be frank. Do you know what I mean? I'm not an easy person to be around sometimes. But what I have learned through that fear has stopped me doing things is like, a lot of people think I'm very gobby, because I am, but I'm not confrontational. And I've almost, because of my weight, it stopped me addressing a lot of things because I felt I had to confront people. Like my sister, always things she would throw at me when I was little, when we'd have a fight, and thank God she doesn't listen, is she'd be like, you're fat and you can't spell, you're thick because you're dyslexic. And those words have always rung true in my head.
Wow.
As an adult and everything. So literally, I wouldn't get in an argument with my sister because she'd say the things that would hurt me the most. And as an adult, that's just, and, you know, my sister is 18 months older than me. She didn't realise what profound effect she was having on my life when she was, you know, when we were fighting over a hairbrush or whatever it was. But it's those things that are very deeply ingrained. But as someone who struggled with those weight, your weight, you don't realise how deep that goes, do you?
Wow. That's that's very honest of you to tell us that.
Well, I'm all about the honesty. Like, literally, that's because, you know, the thing I'd put out about my sister were the things I knew that would hurt her the most. Do you know what I mean? And
It goes two ways.
I am no saint, you know, stabbed her in the leg with a fork when I was seven. You know, no saint at all. She broke the bunk bed ladder over my head. But your family and your friends don't realise how those little things that they can say fester, and they carry on and they carry on and they carry on, and how that can really manifest in quite a profound way if you don't notice it. And I think I didn't notice it until I shifted that burden that my weight held for me. I didn't realise how insecure I was because of my weight.
I was just thinking about what to say next. So the question that I've been reading loads of books over lockdown, finally, just the time that I used to spend driving in trains, I've replaced with reading. And this one book, it finished with just saying, write down two words on a piece of paper, what if? And it was like, you know, what if I could do this? Like, and fear wasn't a part of it. And I've kind of, that question, what if, has like been going around my head quite a lot. Like, well, what if you could do that thing that you've always wanted to do? And I think, like, when I see the word fear, what I recognise now, so what's it been, 2.5 years that I've been with you doing this journey? Maybe 3 years I've been on a bit of a change the whole life kind of jobby thing. But I recognise...
Like,
I know. I've just changed the whole of my life, where I live, where I work, how I weigh, what I wear, who I hang out with. I mean, yeah, it's just casual
everything.
Changing of the life.
Yeah, but everything but get an animal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I recognise fear. Basically, I was living in a shoebox of my own making. Do you know what I mean? Like, was telling myself, well, I can't do that, and I don't do that, and other people do that. And gradually my world was becoming so narrow and so small that I was in a prison of my own making, the shoebox. And as I started unlocking some of the things that held me back, you know, weight was one. I've talked about, like, ditching alcohol, you know, even like getting the balls in recent months to go to the gym, going and dealing with my finances, having a meeting with a bank manager and looking into the whites of their eyes and saying, I can't cope. I am drowning in debt right now and I'm going to go under. Do I have to claim bankruptcy? Like, what are my options here? And having to face those huge things. And just by kind of taking those first steps and breaking it down and getting therapy, getting support, you know, really having to think about who is my inner circle, who are my friends, just started to enable that. This shoebox has now turned into more of a moderate-sized motorhome, I'd say.
Oh, what a change. A moderate-sized motorhome.
Yeah, I'm not quite a full-on mansion, but it's a significant change, you
Isn't
know?
It?
And I feel lighter and free, and I still feel fear every day. I think that's something that not enough people recognize, and actually it's a healthy thing. Like, you know, we talk about fear as this enemy, but actually the phrase I always think of is fear means it matters to you. And if you don't feel fear, then you kind of have to question, well, why am I doing it, really?
I think there's two kind of roads with fear. Like, fear has dominated my life, and there's that good fear, like, you know, I'll never forget when we were going for like meetings about the podcast and that like little grumble in your tummy of that fear and excitement. That's a good fear. the fear I felt, and I remember feeling it when Dad was dying, was the pain I'm in now is so bad. I remember thinking, I don't want to have children because I don't want my children to ever feel the pain I'm feeling right now of watching someone I love so much die. The fear of losing my dad, the fear of getting that call to say he was dead, controlled my life for nearly 3 years. And that wasn't a good fear, as in that dominated me, that stopped me doing things, that made me sick, that stopped me eating. So I think you have to really address, is the fear that you've got pushing you in a good way, as in, you know, we went and we wanted the podcast and we worked our bums off and got it? Or is the fear controlling you, like the fear controlled me for a long time? And if the fear is doing that to you, that is a real warning sign of saying, come on, you need some support. Like you did with the bank manager. Like I had to go and get grief counselling and post-traumatic stress disorder counselling to deal with what I've been through, because it was inhibiting my life. So when fear is taking over is when you've got to acknowledge it. And I felt that in many ways in my life. And I know that at my biggest, I don't know if you felt this, Claire, but the fear of being judged for being overweight almost would, on a night out, I don't know if this, you know, this happened, I know, I'm sure a lot of our listeners can recognize this, I would get changed about 4 to 6 times. I would have big shots and I get sad and I cry, because it was the fear of, if I go out and someone calls me fat when I'm out, you know, when I used to go to bars and you know, blokes would get drunk and they, you know, call you out. I've been called fat by many men in my life, and it would almost stop me going out, because I thought, I just can't deal with this. I'll just put my head in a box and I'll order a pizza. It's much easier than dealing with it. And that's one of the biggest weights that's been shifted since I lost weight. Have you felt similar? Or did you not have crazy men heckling you and calling you fat like I did? So I was going to the wrong bars, wasn't I?
No, I think my overweightness, that's not the right phrase, till overweightness, well, it came in different way. I wasn't consistently overweight from a young age. Actually, I was a piece of bone as a teenager at school. But I think what happened was my weight yo-yoed. It went up and it went down. Now, when it was up, I probably didn't really go out that much. Then I'd lose a bit of weight and I'd go back out. So I can't really say that I had the same experience. It's come in waves. You were. Yeah, that's really interesting, because it just
And you also get pigeonholed, don't you? Like I don't know if you had it at school, but I had it. So I've got some beautiful girlfriends, like stunningly beautiful girlfriends. And, you know, you all take your positions, don't you? And I just remember always, and my girlfriends come in many shapes or sizes, but I always felt like I was the fat one. Like, you know, like my best friend, Jess, beautiful bust, gorgeous hair. Carly's got the most amazing eyes, and they'd always get picked by the boys first and then be fat, funny Anna. She sat holding the coats while they're having a snog in the bush. Do you know what I mean? And it started really, really young. And it was all, it's for me, it's very deeply ingrained from childhood, which is, I learned to be fearful of people judging me. But that's so good that you haven't had that. That makes me pleased.
There's different, I think there's different ways, because, so I have had no consistency. I haven't been consistently slim or consistently fat. And actually, I never really had the same friends growing up. I kind of, like my weight went up and down, my friends changed as the tides change in different places. I never had my group of girlfriends where I even had a role, actually. And it's only now that I'm kind of getting into a bit more of a rhythm and of life that I am really kind of perhaps like kind of settling with a closer inner circle. But I've moved house, 18 times in 18 years. You know, I've done 3 different careers since I graduated at 21. I've just done so many different jobs, everything from barmaid to McDonald's to toilet cleaner to everything, right? You know, working in finance. So I've got no rhythm or rhyme. So I find that really interesting. Like, you know, you kind of been a bit more same bloke.
Yeah.
So, like, you've got your roles with your girlfriends. You've kind of been called the consistently fat and funny Anna. And I'm just, like, all over the shop. Like, I would be, like, you know, if someone's having a heart attack and you watch, like, that little graph go, bloop, that's basically my life, right? And I just couldn't get a grip on anything. So, and a lot of it, you know, if we come back to this subject, was me running away from fear. Like, I'd get to the point where I'd have an uncomfortable conversation with a friend where I didn't agree with something. And instead of go through that, I'd probably just bail out. I got to a point where with a job, I wouldn't quite like it. It wouldn't feel quite right. And instead of perhaps deal with it, I just avoid it. And I just go and get another job. Or with housemates, we kind of get a bit tired, a bit old. It's not all new. So I just go and move somewhere else. And I think I possibly...
You're so different now.
10, 15 years running away because of fear. And, you know, weight was one of those things.
It adds into the mix, doesn't it? It really, really does. But I think what I'm really proud of you in the nearly 3 years I've known you is it's more than that, isn't it? It feels like a lifetime.
2.5 years.
You. How many? 2.5.
Yeah.
It's 3 years in January you joined, wasn't it? Because I was in New York. But you have literally turned around and faced some fears in the last year and literally hit them head on. You really, really have. Do you think losing the weight has allowed you that freedom?
Yeah, I think it's... not just like physical weight, but mental weight as well. I think I got to the point where I was like, I have to face these fears now because they are ruling my life so much that at times I was like, well, what is the point in continuing living? It was like, well, it's either end the life or go through these fears. And what if there is something at the other side of it? And I'm so grateful to kind of now be able, if I was able to say to myself 3 years ago, you're going to face some really tough stuff. You're going to cry harder than you've ever cried before. You are going to feel scared every single day. But what will come out of it over time will be that you get your sense of living, you look forward to your future, you have everything you've ever dreamed of. In such a short space of time, your life will increase. And I recognise now the circle of life that instead of running away and then your world narrows, keep pushing, keep growing, keep learning, because that life is it's there if you want it. But you've got to take that first step.
Just got to take it. Yeah. And I think what I've seen in you is that you've had the courage to do that, which maybe you wouldn't have done.
You say that. You say courage, but I felt like I didn't have a choice.
Yeah. But I think that still takes it. You go one way or another, couldn't you? And you had the courage to take the road to make the choice. See, she's still rubbish at taking a compliment.
Okay.
I'm working on it, guys. Please, can you send me a rough compliment? Claire daily. Well, like, daily compliment Claire to get into her psyche, who she is and what other people say. You know, I had a love. Speaking of compliments, I had a lovely message from a gentleman who sent me a compliment to say I have a really calming voice. And when he's like struggling and kind of, you know, losing his mojo, he listens to the podcast and my voice calms him. I told my husband and he wet himself. So thank you for the compliment. My husband didn't agree. He feels that I've got a voice that could maybe make mice run away. But I found that compliment was really quite a nice one. But my immediate reaction was to laugh. And I think your reaction with compliments is to do that or just go, thanks, not absorb what we're saying. Like, okay. Claire, you're brilliant. Claire?
Thanks. I'm absorbing
that. You can see her face. You can see, yeah, she's absorbing that. No, she's thinking what to say next. She's not absorbing it. She's lying.
I am. Stop. Oh,
she's going to be so glad when we don't have to Zoom podcast anymore, because then I can't catch her out as much.
Anyway, should we stop talking about ourselves and talk about other people for once?
Is that not what this podcast is about?
Okay, so this is in two parts, okay? And maybe you might have your journal and a pen and paper, and you might want to have a little think and see if any of the things that people are saying here are on your list too. So there's like two different sections. One is what has fear stopped you doing? So like a to-do list and what you would like to do to push through it. And then the other one is what have you done, you know, to kind of come through the other side? So a do and a to-do. Is that right? Done and a to-do. Oh, God. Right.
There's a lot of do's in there.
Do-do's. Yes. Do-do. A dodo. A dodo do da doo doo. So if we look on the to-do list first, okay, what's on the to-do list? A couple of people said about horses, which I'm not a horsey person.
Oh,
animals
I love horses.
Actually scare me. Do you? You like
them? Oh my God, I used to ride when I was younger. I love horses.
Really? So yeah. Nicole always wanted to ride a horse, never been able to. Marie would love to ride a horse again and feel confident enough to start jogging without the fear of people laughing at me.
That came up quite a bit, didn't it? The running and people not laughing.
Rides as well, like theme parks is a common thing. Becky says it's the small things like sitting on rides at theme parks, also not sitting on flimsy looking chairs, avoiding fashionable clothes that draw attention to me. Kitty says here, theme park rides and water flumes. Fear I'll get stuck.
Yes, yes, totally get that.
And then a couple of people said, which I thought was quite surprising, so there were three people who said that they feared getting to Target. So Hazel said she's been there before and she feels like she can't stay. Nicola said for her, it was actually the fear of what next after Target.
And Sophie, about that.
Yeah, Sophie says, I fear Target, but it makes no sense. Without the baggage, life would be better. Time to kick fear's ass. And so that was an interesting one. I wasn't kind of expecting that as an answer about the fear of Target.
I get that a lot, an awful lot. People are so scared of, well, I get to this place, I'm going to be this weight. Like, what does that mean? What do I have to do? Who am I? Am I going to go backwards? Is life going to be fixed? And it's that fear of the unknown almost, because especially if you've struggled with your weight for a long time, you lose all this weight that you've dreamed of doing, and then it's like, oh, this is it. And while it brings so many joyous and amazing things, I think what we look for is like a firework effect, you know, when Prince Charming comes through the door, and that's not reality. I meet a lot of fearful slimmers. I'd say you've been like that. The last year, you feared making it happen. You feared what it means. Because I think what you've got from what I notice in you is you're a massive achiever, and you need to get an accolade to feel like you've been successful. And actually, what your culmination of your success is that you've done it and you're there. And there's no more claps, and there's no more stickers, and there's no more fireworks. There's just living in this new, beautiful mind and body that you've created. But I think we're not always prepared for that.
Yeah, I can't agree with that. I mean, I know my weaknesses.
No, I mean, I'm not saying it's a weakness. I think it's a brilliant... I think what I'm trying to say, or what I know I'm trying to say, is it's very natural. It's very natural to feel that. It's very natural to kind of not know where the journey's meant to take you, because you've never been there before. Or if you've been there before, it's been for such a short space of time, you've feared it and then gone back the other way.
Yeah. Well, but then you never know, do you? I mean, the alternative scares me more than the new in this situation.
You've got to keep remembering that. Yeah. Because
sometimes
what drives or what causes people to regain the weight, I think... is that is the fear of not being able to sustain it. It's like the fear of even starting it, because I might fail. So actually I'm at Target and I'm so fearful I'm going to put the weight on that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy almost, doesn't it? Because you just start to sabotage yourself. So being aware of that fear as it happens, you're never going to regain weight, care. I can almost bet on that. I'd say I'm about 99% certain that you will remain slim for the rest of your life, because you have made so many changes and worked so hard to get there that it's not something you're going to allow yourself to go back to.
I don't know.
I do.
I do have fear because of that. You know, things like if I want to have children in the next few years, I'm going to have to accept that I will put weight on.
How do I know it?
I'm not going to use it as an excuse to like just let go if something happens, like, I don't know, a huge disaster or someone dies or like who's close to me, how am I going to handle that? So it's that's all ifs, isn't it, really? It's more what ifs, but yeah.
But it's that, so the pregnancy thing, you don't need to fear. You're food optimizing through the pregnancy. Do you know, I have to say it was one of the easiest times ever to maintain my weight. I'd be pregnant again just for how much easier I found it. But that's fear saying, you're not that person yet, Claire. You're not that person yet. I remember I gave up smoking and I'd always promised myself when my dad died, I could have another cigarette. And I don't know why I said that to myself. It was like giving me like, it will be okay if you have a cigarette when dad died. I remember the day dad died, I was like, oh, the thought of a cigarette. My sister offered me one. I was absolutely disgusting. But in my head, I said to myself, when dad dies, you can have a cigarette. When dad dies, you can have a cigarette. But actually, I got to that point. The last thing I wanted was a cigarette. Put weight back on.
Well, we'll find out. Stay tuned. Listening to this, in 3 years' time, you could tap onto the Instagram and see what happened.
You've got 8 babies now. Yeah, exactly.
Let's whisper through what other people have said, because I found this, I don't know about you, absolutely fascinating. I mean, Billy here said fear stopped him from being happy. He said, I felt I had to hide my sadness from the world. Wow. Mina, fear stopped her setting up the business that she dreamed about for years because she didn't believe in herself. Lucy went to interview for her dream job. She got it, and now she enjoys trampolining with the kids. I mean, these are amazing. Like Kelly, she's at the top. I like this one. Did you see this one about the zip wire job promotions?
I love a zip wire.
Master's degree. We got another love story as well, because I know how much you loved the love story in last week's episode. It's at the end. In case you skipped the end of last week's listeners' questions, it was at the end. Julie proposed to her boyfriend of 7 years on the 29th of February 2020, because it was a leap year. It was at Lord's Cricket Ground in London, because he's huge cricket fan. And she said the weight loss gave her the confidence to do that. I mean, I'm assuming that he said yes.
Oh, yes, she didn't say that bit.
Yeah.
Oh, are you hoping? So? She wouldn't have messaged in if he'd said no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope so.
Bike Life Daddy, who doesn't have a real name, but that is his name to us now. he used to play football for years, okay, like 20 years. And he gained weight. And then he overheard some people saying some comments about him. And it really stung. And he walked away. He was like, you know, screw you, I'm done playing football. But it did kind of spark something in the back of his mind. He's now lost 1.5 stone. He's on his weight loss journey. And actually, he said what he's learned is he sees himself in a completely different way. His dream is to enter cycling charity events. And actually, I had a little stalk on his Instagram and I was amazed. Like, he's one of these people that kind of logs all of his Strava
running
routes. He's regularly doing like 3-hour bike rides, like a serious mileage. I mean, good for you, Bike Life Daddy.
Yes.
Those football dudes will be like screaming for you to be on their side now, won't they?
Exactly.
Because they'll need someone fit, because they're right now in lockdown. They probably couldn't keep up. And they'll probably have got loads of weight on and they'll be rubbish at playing football. And you could just come in and be like Wayne Rooney and be like, boof, and score. And then you can beat them all on your own. Okay, I'll come back to a serious sense.
Wow, that really brought some fire out in your belly, didn't it?
It did, yeah. Not quite sure where that came from.
I love it.
The sun came out as I said that too, I would to say.
Popped through the cloud.
Did the sun come out where you are too?
No. Okay. Just plugged my laptop in so the screen lit up.
Right, what else we got? Hannah and Tina both say about running. In fact, a few people talk about it's enabled them to go running. Hannah's saying about wearing clothes I wouldn't dreamed of 5 years ago. I finally accept the person that I am and I like me inside and out. Oh. Tina running 2.5 stone lighter and the fact that she can.
That's amazing.
Okay, what else do we have here? Sean. This story, you pointed this one out to me, didn't you? You said this one made you coo and go, ah. Oh. So let's set the scene here, right? Okay. A few years ago, Sean went to Disneyland with his daughter. He was 28 stone. He was refused entry on a ride because they said that the safety bar couldn't come down. Instead of burying his head, he thought, something's got to be done about this. This was his catalyst and his motivation to lose weight. So fast forwards to now, he's faced the fear. He's down 11.5 stone. He took his daughter to Disneyland Paris and he went on a theme park ride with her for the first time.
Oh, I love that. So cute.
It is, isn't it? Oh. Sarah here in her early 30s was diagnosed with a hip problem and osteoarthritis. Oh. It has been a slow, painful recovery from surgery. She's now halfway through her weight loss journey and it means that she can now do daily walks.
Oh, what an achievement. And I know from my own personal surgery, that's hard. That's a real achievement, especially so young. Congratulations.
And then Amy sent us this message. This is one just to kind of round up this episode. She said, you know, a lot of it was about the fear of unknowns. So the idea of walking through Slimming World group doors for the first time terrified her. But she did it 18 months ago and says it was the best decision that she ever made. She's a singer. So she's used to being on stage. And before she was wearing the old leggings and tops. My God, I still have plenty of leggings as proof of that. These days, she's lost 3 stone since she joined in the last 18 months. And now she swapped the tops and leggings for sparkly dresses. Oh. She realised that the fear was in her head.
Oh, I think that sums it all up, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully the things that we're talking about here, you know, what is fear stopping you do right now? Actually, what fears have you faced over your journey? Write down your done and your to-do list and just reflect, you know, as we always say, like, see where are you at? What do you need to do? What can you do? Who could help you? Get curious about it rather than try and take the emotion out of it. A lot of things for me is about go get knowledge. You know, a lot of the fear thing about finances for me, for instance, was I just need to go and ask questions. I don't have to make the decisions and find this £1 million that will fix everything. I just need to have a conversation with someone and say, okay, how bad is this? Get knowledge, educate yourself, learn, find the people that can support you, buddy up, get accountability. And then before you know it, you're doing this stuff and you stop and it's on your done list, not on your to-do.
How nice is a done list? Don't you love a tick? But I know what you mean with the talking about the finance, like just going and telling someone, this is my fear. You know, I had to address a real fear I have, which is with all the health things I've been going through and having a child, you know, that, you know how sick I was last year, you know, like, am I going to die? Which is a real fear, is a real fear of mine, leaving Daisy behind and all of that. And I've done a lot of work on the fear of dying and all of that. And if I hadn't have spoken out about that to Phil, to counsellors, I wouldn't have been able to move forward because I was so busy fearing what might happen that it stopped me enjoying the right now. So just kind of airing that fear is so important.
Well, that's where I think then you ask yourself the question, what is fear costing you?
It's costing because me a lot, and you, by the sounds when of it.
Well, when do you go to avoid fear? What do you do? How far are you going to go to avoid that fear and avoid dealing with that sadness and that pain? And for me, overeating was what I did to stuff myself to avoid facing the fears. So what is it costing you? For me, it cost me my waistline. It cost me my health. Clearly, I was pre-diabetic. It cost me my finance. It cost me in relationships, in jobs. It cost me everything.
And I think that's what it does. That's what fear paralyzes you, doesn't it?
Yeah. So anyway, that was fear.
I was happy, wasn't it? I was scared of dying. Bye.
Next week, we're talking photos. We're going back to some of your ideas about why. It's all as a result of a message that Jo sent us. She was talking about her nan. We'll reveal what that's all about next week. So do make sure that you subscribe, you follow, share with us your stories if you wish. If that helps you be accountable, we can't reply to them all, but you can email us slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. You can Insta us on @slimmingworldpodcast. We're there, we're updating, we're hearing you, we're seeing and we're watching you. And in all these little messages that we get, you're inspiring us as well. You inspire us in the middle of the night when we read your comments, in the first thing in the morning. It's really cute. So thank you so much for joining us on this little crazy podcast journey, for helping us push through our fear and make us feel like we're worth it and that we're doing something that is helping you and making it worthwhile, because it does take a lot of balls for us to do this, if we're really honest. We're not everyone's cup of tea, are we?
No.
We don't get all love messages. Let's be frank, we really don't get all love messages. And that's okay, because you can't be loved by everybody, but it does take quite a lot of balls for us to do this.
Do you know what I think, Claire, though? If we help one other person, I'm happy. You know what I mean? And if we were everyone's cup of tea, we'd be a mug.
Well, I mean, there's nothing else that we can say, so I'm just going to end it right there. Have a great week, whatever you do. Mug, cup, saucer, whatever. Pint glass, wine glass. Goodbye.
Have a good night.